Hey guys, you need to back at base. Jonathan, Izzy, Jalen, all of you guys, you need to back at base ASAP. We have a
what's going
special
on?
Visitor.
A special visitor. Now of all times, I'm kind of getting my butt kicked over here.
Yeah, it's not easy. It's not pretty.
Hey, yeah. Hey, guys. I'm working on something. I can't just.
I know, but.
I can't just drop what I'm doing and get over there.
I know, but the special guest is talking about Morphex.
What?
That's a new one.
Yeah, he says he wants all of our Morphex.
That sounds like a type of food.
Hang on, Asya might know what Morphex is. Let's double check with Asya when we get back. When you guys get back here.
Yeah. All right. Got a couple more to
stop. Watch your back, Shane.
Sounds like we're gonna need an English, guys.
Come in.
See you guys at the base.
Yep.
Teleporting now.
Teleporting now.
Hold on, somebody's stealing something over there.
Veteran voice actor for the Power Rangers franchise, and you are listening to and watching the Power Rangers Multiverse Rangers podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen of the multiverse, welcome to the Power Rangers Multiverse Rangers podcast. I am Chris, the Gold ZT Ranger, along with the rest of the crew of the Multiverse Rangers podcast. Our co-host today is Raphael Fireblade.
Hello.
And our special guest tonight, oh, we have a treat for you guys, a little dark side, if you will. I'd like to introduce to you the voice of a few Power Rangers villains, as of current, one we know best as Scrozzle. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Campbell Cooley.
Hello there, thank you for having me.
Thank you for showing up, and we appreciate it. Unfortunately, guys, Mr. Cooley's camera cannot be seen, but we will be able to take care of any questions and whatnot. But you can see that he is with us. So, with that being said, also our panel's going to ask a bunch of questions. We'll pick by hand raised. And after that, we're going to take a short break for our sponsors to be promoted, and then we'll come back and have my co-host take over. So are we ready? Mr. Cooley, are you ready?
I'm absolutely ready.
All right, here we go. So I'm going to start off, ladies first, with hands raised. I'll start off with our Rita Repulsa, my wife, Becky.
Hi, Mr. Cooley.
Hi there.
I have two questions, which usually isn't meant to happen, but one, did you know our residential rap does your Scrozzle, and he does it so perfectly you would just be amazed by it? Did you know that?
I did not know that. I'm feeling threatened here, so I may have to hear it. And
oh, yeah, that was my second question. Would you like to hear it?
I would love to hear it.
So, Scrozzle, do you have any more facts for to destroy the Power Rangers?
Wasn't that great?
Yeah, that was nice. That was really nice. Cool. Thank you so much.
You got an accent, but you can hear it. You are the greatest one, I think, out of all the bad guys besides Rita. Thanks, Zoe.
Thank you.
So, I'm done. Thank you.
All right.
No problem. Hey, just before we move on, just because you were talking about Scrozzle, a little piece of trivia. I wasn't going to audition for Beast Morphers. I had done so much work for the show that it just seemed like, well, you know, I should, you know, maybe take a break. And I was going to like work behind the scenes and direct voices and stuff. And when we did the auditions for Scrozzle, after our first day of the auditions, we just didn't really have anything good enough to present. So the show asked me if I would audition for Scrozzle with the understanding that, you know, they knew they would have at least, you know, one good audition to submit to the producers. And I kind of reluctantly agreed to do it. And there's a whole story, maybe you can ask me later about it, but like I didn't have a voice ready for it. It was a miracle I even pulled that voice out of my mind. And long story short, you know, I had no idea I was going to get Scrozzle. And now that I got it, I'm so happy that I did, because I love Scrozzle. He's my favorite character.
We love him too, man. It's one of our favorite villains in the Power Rangers universe. Our next question is going to go with our fearless leader, Rachel.
Welcome, Mr. Curley. My question is, what was it like working on Ninja Steel and Cosmic Fury?
Ninja Steel and Cosmic Fury. Wow, they were very different experiences. Excuse me. So, Ninja Steel, again, it was a situation where I was really just going to kind of try and step back and be a director. I was being trained to be one of the voice directors, and they asked me to audition for Ripcon, which I was like, okay, that's fine. And we got to a point in the audition process where they had made their like initial choices, and they were having these things called callbacks, where they call you back and it's kind of like a second audition. And, you know, when you get a callback, there's a good chance you might get the job, but, you know, they just want to be sure. Well, in the meantime, I had made the realization that I didn't really want to play Ripcon. I wanted to play Cosmo. It was too late. It was like I couldn't ask anybody, hey, could I audition for Cosmo? And so I went in to do my my recall for Ripcon, and I was pretty convinced that I was going to get it. And the producer, Chip Lynn, was at the recalls, and he was sitting out on the sofa listening in on all the, you know, auditions and stuff. And I came out of my audition, and he said, that's great, you know, really good job and everything. And that he just suddenly surprised me. He said, can you do Charlie in the Box? And for those of you who are, like, you know, familiar with those really old, like, Christmas animations from the 60s and 70s, okay, Charlie in the Box is from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. He's a misfit toy.
Yeah.
And so he said, can you do Charlie in the Box? And I said, no, nobody wants a Charlie in the Box. He says, I want you to audition for Cosmo.
Oh, wow. So Charlie in the Box became Cosmo.
Charlie in the Box became the foundation for Cosmo, but he just sounded a little too depressed for me, so I added a little bit of Mad Hatter to him and gave him a bit more whimsy. So so I was doing these two voices. I'm sorry, what was that?
No, go ahead.
Okay, I thought you were asking a question.
No,
that's okay. I think we got a little bit of lag and bleed over, so I apologize if I speak over anybody. So I was now doing these two characters. I was also directing for that season, and it was cool. It was a lot of fun. And then fast forward to Cosmic Fury, and I really wasn't expecting Cosmic Fury. I don't think any of the actors were. We did Dino Fury. I was thrilled that, you know, Scrozzle got to come back, and Slither, of course, obviously, he was a great character. And when they made the decision to do Cosmic Fury, I was back here in the States. So it was crazy. I had, like, just left New Zealand, came over here, and I got a call, and they said, we want you to revise these characters and play a live-action version of Slither. And I was like, oh, gosh. So I had to fly all the way back. And it was a very different feel, because whereas Ninja Steel, you know, I was going in every day and I was either recording stuff or I was directing stuff, and it was I really enjoyed it. But Cosmic Fury was like just boom, 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 boom. I literally went in there and didn't have time to breathe, and just cranked out my part of, you know, part of the show as quickly as possible, and then I was done. And so it was a very different feel to working on Ninja Steel. I really enjoyed working on Ninja Steel. Cosmic Fury was a little too fast for me. It was gone.
Uh-huh. Wow. The flash was gone. All right. Let's see. Next in line for questioning. Why don't we go for? I don't know. Let's start with one of our youngest cast members down there. Zane, go ahead with your question.
Hello, Mr. Cooley.
Hello there.
My question to you is, because obviously we all know you did the voice for Scrawzle. My question, how exactly did you come up with the voice that you were going to use for Scrawzle? Because we know you said a couple moments ago that you weren't really intending on voicing Scrawzle in the first place. How did that end up working out?
You know, oh my gosh, it horrifies me to remember the experience, because I've been pretty fortunate in that 9 times out of 10 when I audition for something, whether it's Power Rangers or something else, if I have time to, like, you know, if there's like a drawing or a picture of the character or something, usually when I look at the picture, a voice will just come to me 9 times out of 10. And then in those times where I can't come up with a voice, I try to look for inspiration. And so all I knew was that Scrawzle, he was a genius. He was like a mad scientist. He was very manipulative and sneaky. But when push came to shove, he could kind of back down and be, you know, kind of cowardly. And that reminded me so much of Dr. Smith from Lost in Space.
Oh, okay.
So my memory of, you know, Dr. Smith's voice was, you know, he kind of had this faux English accent and everything, and it was just kind of all very dramatic and over the top. And I played with that, and I couldn't get it to work, and I thought, this doesn't work. So it's literally the morning of the audition, and it's like a half hour before I'm supposed to go in, and I had nothing. I had no idea what I was going to do for this character, and I was totally freaking out. And I'd gone into my bathroom, and I was looking in the mirror, and I was like, I have nothing for this character. What am I going to do? And I was like, I'm going to go into the recording booth. They're going to say action, hit record, and nothing's going to come out of my mouth, and I'm going to look like a fool. So at this point, I'm panicking, and I was just like trying to find something, and I was just pushing my throat, and nothing was coming out. It was just like, nothing was coming out. And I guess I just had to push myself hard enough and be desperate enough that, you know, boom, the Scrawzle voice came out. And I was like, what on earth was that? Well, that does not sound like a robot. What is that? But at this point, I just wanted to, like, not look like an idiot in the recording booth. So I said, you know what, I'm not going to get the part anyway. So I just go in there, I'll give him something, and I'll be done with it. And I went in, and I did the audition. And then 2 weeks later, I get this email saying, like, you know, you got it. And I was like, why? what is this? So the thing about these characters on Power Rangers is that they don't tell you, like, if it's an ongoing character, they don't tell you what the storyline for that character is going to be. You go in blind. You just literally, like, you're figuring it out from episode to episode. And the impression I got was from the first few episodes, if you listen to the voice, it's very angry. I think he's angry because, like, you know, he wants to be left alone, And now suddenly he's got to deal with Blaze and Roxy, and he's got this giant holographic snake that's threatening to kill him, and he's just angry. But then over the course of the show, a kind of Stockholm syndrome kicks in, and he starts to feel useful. And so, like, you'll hear that the voice gets kind of lighthearted and more happy throughout the episode, throughout the series. So, but I still didn't quite understand why they went with it. And nobody has told me, but the impression that I get is that, you know, he sounds like a petulant child.
Yeah.
And that voice, I think, works really well with Blaze and Roxy when they're always bickering.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's just my theory. Nobody has told me that. But by the end of recording Beast Morphers, I had really grown to like Scrozzle. I mean, I went in just completely confused. Like, why am I doing this? What's happening? And now he's my favorite character of all time.
Yeah.
One of ours, too. It grows on you, man. All right. Next question's going to come. I'm going to start being the ballpark here. We're going to start. Next question's going to come from Bruce. Then we'll go with Darius and then Okami next. So, Bruce, your question.
Hey, first and foremost, welcome.
Hey.
What was your inspiration for Sled?
Oh, gosh. All right, so we've got to rewind to the thing with Scrozzle. So, again, 90% of the time, I see the character, a voice comes to me. Scrozzle was the first time where I was just completely stumped. I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do for this. And, excuse me, but I wasn't going to audition for Dino Fury. I was just like, you know what, I'm just going to be a voice director. That's all I'm going to do. And then it came down the chain that the producer wanted me to audition for Slither. He didn't want me to audition for any other characters, just Slither. And all these other, you know, actors were coming in, and they were auditioning for like two and three characters. And I'm thinking, well, I'm at a disadvantage here. they've got better odds of getting something. So I spent about a week or so trying to come up with a voice, and just nothing was coming to me. And I didn't have the luxury of having seen Rhea Soldier, so I didn't really understand the character. All I was told was that he was like a deceiver, and I think somebody said he was a magician, which that was totally wrong. So, but I didn't realize he was a shapeshifter per se. And so I was just trying to think of something really different than I had ever done before. And I had I came up with like three different voices. Two of them I knew were completely wrong. One was again, going back to the thing where I said, if I can't come up with a voice, I'll try to find inspiration. And for Slither, the only thing I could think of was, if he was like a magician and a deceiver, that reminded me of Rasputin from the Tsar dynasty and everything. So I thought, well, I would do some kind of Russian voice or something for it. And the casting director hated all of my auditions. And I was like, oh, I am in so much trouble here. So I suddenly had 4 seconds to come up with this new audition. And that was the voice. I mean, literally, I just pushed myself. Then, you know, boom, the voice of Slither came out. And it was just like, that's how it happened. I really have no idea where it came from.
that's awesome.
That is awesome.
I really do appreciate the fact that you're throwing in those voices in there. That gives our audience the feel for what you're doing. I really appreciate that.
No problem. And if you want to have a real big laugh at my expense, I have two videos on my YouTube channel that talk about the process of trying to find his voice. And you will hear at least two of the auditions I did. One is so utterly wrong. It is so bad.
We'll definitely go check that out. We'll be sure to promote your YouTube channel as soon as we're done on the program here. So don't you... So just remember that, guys. Our next question comes from Darius, one of our newest Rangers.
Hi, Darius.
So I also do voice acting when it comes to villain stuff. The only character is Squazzle, right?
So my
question is, if you could cosplay the character, would you?
Sorry, there was a bit of noise in the background. What was the question?
Okay, so it moved to
a quieter location, I think.
Yeah.
So my question is, if you decided to make a cosplay out of this character, would you do it? Would you cosplay as that girl? Would you?
Oh my gosh. I mean, it would be really cool to have like a Scrozzle helmet or a Scrozzle outfit. I don't know that I would be brave enough to wear it because those costumes are so heavy. I would sweat like crazy. But I would love to have like a recreation of Scrozzle's head. I do love it.
Thank
you. Cool. So we'll have to remember that. All right. Okami, you're next up on the questions, buddy.
All right. My question is, do you like voice and villain characters from the Power Rangers franchise?
Sorry, this is the question, do I like voicing villains?
Yes.
Oh yeah, I love it. I mean, I love voicing heroes as well, but there is something very intriguing and engaging about being able to, you know, create a villain, and if you're really lucky, you know, maybe he's got a bit of backstory, a little bit of depth. You know, I like villains that have interesting backstories, like, you know, what made them become a villain. And that's probably been one of my biggest frustrations with Scrozzle. It's just like, you know, he's been in 3 series so far. We know nothing about this character. We don't know where he came from. We don't know what he's doing. But I have my own personal theories, so, you know, if I'm lucky, maybe it'll play out in a comic book, or maybe he'll show up in another Power Rangers series in the future.
Okay, nice. I'm gonna set a question for you, Mr. Cooley. Sure. You and I spoke recently before we set up here. About a few days ago, and you told me you were a specific power. Can you elaborate on that?
A specific power?
Yes, sir. Or a specific, you were the voice of a specific morph?
Oh, right. Gotcha. Okay, so, I'm so glad I can see all your faces for this. So, a lot of people know that for Dino Charge, I was Snide. Okay. And I even got to have like a little cameo in an episode called The Royal Rangers. I played a paparazzi. You can see me for all of 5 seconds. But what a lot of people don't realize is that there was another ongoing character in Dino Charge that nobody seems to know about, even though it was credited. I was the voice of the Dinomorph Charger.
T-Rex Charger, engage!
Ooh.
There it is!
And obviously all the other incarnations, you know,
Stego Charger, engage! Tricera Charger, engage! So,
wow. So basically you were essentially a part of the Morphin Grid.
Yeah, basically.
That is so cool.
That is awesome. All right, next question is going to come from our co-host, Raphael, and then Jaheel is going to close off the first half.
Cool. My question to you, Mr. Cooley, is what was it like playing Snide?
You know, that was really cool. I'm so glad I got to play him. The backstory on that one is, that was one of those times where the voice kind of came to me once I saw what he looked like, but I knew that I couldn't play it safe with the voice. So I go into the audition, and I literally pushed my voice harder than I've ever pushed it and I've ever done. And they loved the sound of it. And then when they called and said, you've got the part, I was like, how am I going to sustain that voice for an entire season? Because I knew it was going to wreck my voice. And there were literally sessions where I either didn't finish the session or I walked away and it was like,
I couldn't talk for 3 days.
You know?
Oh my goodness.
There was something else I was going to add to that. Maybe it'll come back to me. Sorry. Darn. It was a snide story. Gosh, if it comes back to me, I'll try and bring it up. Sorry about that.
No problem. Was that it? Then okay. So next one is Jahil. Go ahead with your question, and then after that, we're gonna close off our session.
All right. Hello, Mr. Cooley. My question to you is, of all the characters that you've played within the Power Rangers, all the villains that you've played, aside from Scrozzle, who is your favorite villain to play and why?
Oh, wow. That's a really good question. It's hard to answer because, you know, there's probably four or five that I really, that I would want to list. But each one has, like, different attributes that I like. I love how Snide sounds. He just sounds like a psychopath. I like Slither. He's got phenomenal dialogue. But I would say the one I enjoy voicing the most would be Cosmo Royale.
I was saying Cosmo. You had a lot of flair in Cosmo. I like that.
That he did. In order to me to like kind of pull out that voice, I physically had to get very animated in the booth. I think I've got a few behind the scenes videos of me recording him, and you can see a little bit of that theatricality. So, but I would say, as much as I enjoyed doing Cosmo, there was also not counting Alpha 6. That was probably the highest pitch voice I've done for the series. And there were a few recording sessions where my voice just gave out halfway through and I had to come back maybe 2 or 3 days later to finish recording because it was too much. Mm-hmm. A classic example for that was the episode Grave Robber, the Halloween episode. I my voice gave out about halfway through that session. And I was like, I'm done. I can't do it anymore.
Oh, geez.
Wow.
Thank you for your question.
All right, guys. We're going to take a short break for our sponsors to come on, and then Raphael's going to take over, and I think I'll agree that Raphael, that Joseph will be the first one to get the first question out of that.
Why not?
Excellent. So we're going to take a short break. We'll be back with our special guest, Mr. Campbell Cooley. And like I said, we'll be back on the Power Rangers Multiverse Rangers podcast. By the way, take a look at our sponsors.
Welcome back to the Power Rangers Multiverse Rangers podcast. Ooh, we have a very, very special guest. Thank you. Give it up for the legendary. Are you ready to get gigantified by the legendary Campbell Cooley?
Gigantify!
All right. Nice. All right, Rap. Go ahead and leave us off.
All right. Next question will come. Go ahead, Joseph.
Yes, Mr. Campbell. I wanted to say thank you again for talking with me at Ranger Stop. You had the VIP breakfast as well.
Oh, thank you.
I saw you help that one woman who had the walker. You're a real one in my book. I also remember a story you told me at Ranger Stop about how you met the actor who played Heckle. Could you please elaborate on that for our audience?
Right. I'm thank you for bringing that up because I actually had forgotten that story. So I think, excuse me, got a frog in my throat. I have to record that and sell that. So for Dino Charge, again, this was before I really kind of started working with the actors in a directorial capacity. So for Dino Charge, I didn't really meet anybody. And I think there's this kind of natural inclination for people to think that, oh, because I was working on the show in the capacity that I was, that I must have known all the other actors, and I didn't. And so years went by, and when I got flown back to New Zealand to film Cosmic Fury, I was walking across the film studio, and I saw Ryan come out of one of the studios dressed as Heckle. And of course, you know, I've been watching him for years, you know, and I kind of felt like I knew him. And I walked up, I was like, Ryan, it's great to see you. And he looked at me like, who are you? and I suddenly realized, oh, that's right. We've never met. And I said, I'm your alter ego. So the poor guy, he was just kind of like, he was just dumbfounded. Like, who is this strange person walking up to me? But we got to sit next to each other at Ranger Stop and finally kind of got to know each other. And that was really cool. And I think we posed for a few photos together. So I'm happy that I finally got to meet him, you know, 10 years later.
Better late than never.
Right? Yeah. Thanks for that question, Joseph.
All right. Next question will come from Christy.
That's a weekend.
Christy, there you go.
Hello. So, what is your most favorite season to do in Power Rangers?
My most favorite season?
Yeah.
Gosh, I mean, this probably won't come as a surprise. Probably Beast Morphers. I think there was just it was such a an amazing season, solid writing. You know, it was just and the twist at the end. Like, we're not going to give anything away here for those who haven't seen it yet, but like the big twist, the big reveal. And I am going to have to say this. So, spoiler alert for anybody listening to this show, if you haven't seen Beast Morphers and you don't want it spoiled, turn this off for the next 2 minutes. So, I had the privilege of, in addition to voicing Scrozzle and doing other stuff and directing the actors and everything, I had the privilege of voice directing the final 5 episodes of the series. So that means I was directing the big Benjex reveal. I was directing Dr. K's visit. I was directing the death of Steel. I was directing all the big moments. And that was really, really cool. I kind of wish I'd gotten some footage of that.
we're just, okay, so just so everyone who has seen it, just so you know, Mr. Cooley just explained to him that he was part, like, pretty much an epic part of the end of Beast Morphers. That, I mean, I have to admit, Mr. Cooley, that was some very, very riveting freaking stuff. Bringing back Benjex.
Dr. K.
Dr. K. Man.
And then the little twist that...
Blown away.
And then the little twist that the Red Ranger's dad got possessed.
Right. I tell you a quick little story. When it came to direct the scene where Steele died, the actor came in and we showed him the scene, and he sees him, he's getting zapped by Ben Jackson, he, you know, has this horrible death. And the first take, the actor screamed so horrendously, it sounded like he was being murdered. And I was like, whoa, this is Power Rangers, pull it back, you know, this isn't a horror movie. I mean, it sounded like the most painful death you can imagine. And so I just said, just pull it back, make it more like Luke when he's being zapped by the Emperor in Return of the Jedi, okay? Do that.
Like, so excuse me. Joints! All right, next question is going to come from Zane.
Hello, Mr. Cooley. I'm so glad that we got to hear a lot of your stories with the various villains that you played. My question to you is, what was your favorite scene that you did with each of them? From the ones that you did play.
Wow. That's, man, that's really tough. Man, I wish I'd known in advance I was going to get asked this. My favorite scene, oh my gosh. So I think, like, okay, this is going to be in no chronological order or anything. So I love the fact that even though Scrozzle is kind of like really dangerous, he just wants some basic courtesy. You know, he doesn't get any respect. They treat him like garbage. He just wants an occasional please or thank you, and it never happens. And I think my favorite moment in Beast Morphers is when they're trying to steal the Morphax Towers and the plan's all going horribly wrong. And the emitters, or I forgot what it is, the thing they're going to use to steal the Morphax Towers, they're about to, like, get stolen by the Rangers or something. And Blaze and Roxy come in, and they're freaking out. And they were like, we cannot lose those emitters. And Blaze says, you know, we need a distraction. Send in and get your drone. And Scrozzle's response is, what's the magic word? What's the magic word? Cosmo, I mean, this, I think for me, anytime Cosmo laughed, and he did it a lot, but just there was just something kind of, he was happy and maniacal at the same time. And, you know, Cosmo's not, he's not really like, I don't know if you'd call him evil. He's more kind of neutral. He doesn't care who wins. He just wants good ratings. And there was even an episode where, like, you know, the Rangers were winning, they were beating the bad guys, and Cosmo was just happy that his ratings were going through the roof. So, you know, I can't remember if he, you know, he'd like something along those lines. I don't know if he laughed a little.
Oh, jeez.
Snide, favorite moment with Snide. That's so hard. Remind me to tell you a story about Snide. I think this is what I was trying to remember earlier, and it has to do with when they brought him back for Beast Morphers. But with Snide, I think possibly when he, just before he was destroyed. You know, he's like, you know, he's got the dark energy, he's got everything he needs, and all he needs is for Sledge to, like, magna beam him into a giant inversion, and it's game over for the Rangers. And Sledge is like, nah, let him be destroyed. And Sledge just kind of like, curse you! You know? It's just such a cool thing to do, like, you know, curses! And I think for Slither, I just loved how he called out all of his fight sequences, you know, like, you know, dodge, you know, thrust, spinny thing, noble sacrifice, you know. So, yeah, there was just too many to mention, but I think those were a few highlights for me.
Alrighty then. Next question.
Sorry, I just remembered. Is anybody going to ask me any more questions about Snide?
What?
Any more questions about Snot?
It wasn't Snot related, but it was Dino Charge related. That was my next question. That was my question.
Okay, well, ask that, and then maybe I'll use it as a segue.
Go ahead, Demi.
Okay. Mr. Kulig, my question is, what was your favorite part about working on Dino Charge and Super Dino Supercharge itself?
All right, this is going to be such a disappointment. Probably doing the Morpher voice, because it was the easiest job I have ever done in my life. I didn't have
wrong with that.
My voice. I didn't have
cry. Sometimes the easiest might turn out to be the good ones.
Mm.
Yeah. Exactly.
So it was really, doing those various call-outs for the Morpher were just really kind of relaxed and very chill. Going back to what I had forgotten earlier, there's a funny little story with regards to when they brought back Snide for Beast Morphers. So I think about 5 years had passed, and there's some voices that just I never forget. I'm just never going to forget them. And so I went in to record, because they brought Snide back for the, I think it was the Beast Morphers crossover, and I can't remember what the heck Blazing Roxy used, but I think it's called the Reanimizer or something. Yeah. And they brought him back, and so I go in to record it, and the director, who I've worked with for years, he said, like, do you want us to, play back some of your Snide voice from, Dino Charge as a refresher? And I was like, no, I don't need it. And he was like, what? I said, yeah, I know the voice. And he was like, he was really uncomfortable. He was like, he was not convinced I knew the voice. So he said, okay, all right. So we went in to record the first line. And so I did that. I think we got about 3 lines into it. And he just panicked. He was like, he had to know that I was doing the voice correctly. So he turned to the sound engineer and he said, I want you to go into the Dino Charge files from 5 years ago and just randomly select a cue and play it back. Well, I had just recorded, like, Snide's first line in the Beast Morphers crossover when he's reanimated. His first line is, where am I? I'm not kidding you. The engineer pulled out the file from when Snide is created on Sentai 6, and his first line was, where am I? He plays back that voice, and the director said, no, I don't want you to play back what he just recorded. I want you to play back something from the show. And the engineer was like, that was from Dino Charge. And he was like, yep, you're right. You know the voice.
All right.
What are the odds?
All right, next question comes from Elijah.
All right, so my next question, with working with Snide, did your actions and your vocals have to match the suit actors, or was it vice versa?
Okay, so as I'm sure you're all aware, they borrow footage from the Sentai, but they also borrow the costumes to shoot new footage with the new Ranger actors. And the suit actors they get for the new footage are really good about kind of matching the flavor of what was done in the Sentai. So all of that stuff is recorded, like all of the visuals are recorded and edited before we go into do our voices. So I'm definitely trying to match the feel of the movements and, respect that, kind of create the right tone for that character. That going back to say, like Megaforce, that was a little hard because when I did Admiral Malcor, the suit, the mouth, it kind of had like a puppet mouth. So like it was going, like the chin was going up and down. Hmm. And sometimes what they wrote in the script didn't always match the way his mouth was moving. So that was always challenging to try and make that work. But if there was the mouth wasn't moving, I felt like I did a pretty good job, you know, trying to get the sense of the feel of the movements and everything, and have them be reflected by the voice. And I got a really a lovely compliment from Koji Momura, who is the suit actor for Scrozzle. And the thing that I never took into consideration was when they're filming, you know, Scrozzle and Blaze and Roxy, they don't know what the final voice for Scrozzle is going to be. And neither did, you know, obviously neither did the suit actor. So the suit actor, he's just doing his lines in Japanese. And the actors for Blaze and Roxy, they later told me, they said, we were expecting some kind of like robotic sounding voice, so that when they finally played the first few episodes, they were really surprised. They were like, wow, that is not the voice we were expecting. But they very kindly said later, that is the only voice for that character. But Koji, he told me that when he finally heard the voice that I was doing started to influence some of his movements in terms of how he was doing the character. And then inversely, you know, when I see his movements, you know, that was impacting how I was doing the voice. So Koji and I sort of formed this symbiotic relationship. And I can't say enough about Koji. Good things about Koji. He's such an amazing suit actor.
All right. Next question comes from Rachel.
When you was doing Scrozzle, you changed your voice to Lord Zedd. How did that come about?
Oh, thank you. I completely forgot about that. So, I'll try and keep this short. So, when we have to rewind to Dino Fury, and when it was revealed they were going to be bringing back Lord Zedd, I had auditioned to do the voice of Lord Zedd. So I already had kind of like, I had spent some time listening to the original voice, and the reality is I'm never going to be able to perfectly mimic Robert Axelrod. That voice was perfection. The best I could do is maybe kind of mimic it. And so when Cosmic Fury came around, and we got to that scene where Scrozzle's being interviewed, I think at the end of episode 9, by this alien interviewer, and he said, and he's explaining the plan, how they tricked Lord Zedd and everything. I wasn't sure whether or not I was just going to do the Scrozzle voice, and then they were going to have whoever was doing the Lord Zedd voice record that line, and it would just sound like, you know, Scrozzle was doing it. And they said, no, we want you to do it. So I was like, okay. So I just built upon what I had done for my audition for Lord Zedd a year earlier. And it's kind of funny, because there's a lot of people that have said they think that when they hear that Scrozzle doing his impersonation of Lord Zedd, it's just the actor that they had hired for doing Lord Zedd for Cosmic Fury. No, that's actually me.
Nice.
Nice.
Nice. Very nice.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, next question will come from my host, Chris.
Okay, Mr. Cooley, I got a top 5 for you.
Okay.
Top 5 favorite villains from the Power Rangers series. Your top 5.
My top 5. Oh my gosh, that's so tough. Oh my gosh. I'm going to have to say Zedd. I'm trying to remember his name. I think it was Lightspeed Rescue, and he's the one that trained Trakeena.
Okay.
That was in Galaxy.
Lost Galaxy.
I know what you're talking about. I can't think of his name.
The general.
He had a kick that was in a barrel.
Oh, that guy. Okay.
Yeah. I do know his name. He's just eluding me right now.
Yeah, okay.
I liked him because he had a sense of honor about him. And, yeah, and I liked his sense of honor. So Zed, that guy. Oh, this is so embarrassing. I do know his name. Villains. Obviously, Ben Jax.
He was in a barrel.
Well, no, he had a sidekick that was in a barrel.
Barrel. What were you talking about?
Scorpius is Villamax.
Villamax, thank you.
That's the guy.
Villamax.
The only villain with a sense of honor. That's the only one.
Yeah, I loved his sense of honor. Let's see. I'm going to say Snipe. And, this is too hard. There's too many to choose from.
Two more, Campbell. You can go as far back as you want.
Okay. I'm going to say Rancic.
Oh, that's a good one.
Rancic. And again, it's like, you know, he's got an amazing backstory. And I love the fact that he's redeemed in Lightspeed Rescue.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Zed, Villamax, Snide, and
Rancic.
Now, who is your number one?
The answer is obvious. Scrozzle.
I knew.
That's biased, yeah. But hey, bias is good.
Boss. He's a survivor.
Excellent. All right, Rap. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Cooley.
No problem.
All right. Zoe, you're up.
Thank you. And good morning, good evening, good night, and good evening to you, Mr. Cooley. Thank you for coming to our show. Thank you for having us here. My question is, what is one tip you can give to a new villain or a previous villain voice actor? What could you try to tip them?
Okay, so the question is, what kind of tips I would give to someone who wants to be a voice actor? Because you're not going to necessarily just be doing villains.
Yeah, no, what I'm asking is, like, let's say...
Aspiring
voice actor, gotcha. Okay, cool. I get asked this a lot, and it's hard for me to answer because I don't want to put anybody off pursuing their dreams if they want to be a voice actor. All I can say is that it's a lot harder than it looks, because there's so many talented people out there, and there's only so much work. So I would say, in addition to honing your craft, watching things and trying to mimic them, don't just like try to mimic things on cartoons or whatever. Record some books, you know, learn how to just do narration, that sort of, 'cause that's a whole skill into itself. And the other thing is, you've really got to network. You've got to get out and you've got to network with other voice actors and people who are directors and producers. And that's hard. That's a really hard thing. There's this kind of like, I don't know how to explain it. There's this thing in the industry where sometimes you can't get an agent because you haven't done anything. But of course, how am I supposed to get anything if I don't have an agent? So it's like this, you're trapped in this kind of like, you know, catch 22. And the irony is that my agent did not get me Power Rangers. I actually got it on my own. And then once I'd done my first gig on Power Rangers, boom, suddenly I got representation. So just try not to get frustrated. I mean, if this is an industry where there's a lot, if you don't handle rejection well, this may not be the industry for you. I would say, you know, I sometimes go long periods without getting work, and that's really disheartening. And you've just got to keep cranking out the auditions and just keep just not giving up. And, you know, so yeah, you gotta have a pretty thick skin. And I personally, I don't think I have a thick skin. So you just got to keep pushing and fighting. And when you do get work, stay humble. Like, take direction, listen to the director, don't argue with them, just do whatever they ask, no matter how crazy it sounds.
All right. Excellent. We got time for two more questions, and they will come from Joseph and from Zane. Raph, choose which one.
All right, first off, go ahead, Joseph.
Yes, Mr. Cooley, as us as voice actors, we do an audio drama here and on the multiverse. What are some tips that you can give us as voice actors to keep our voices healthy? And what do you do on a regular basis to keep your voice healthy and keep it from being strained?
Especially for all those ranges you have. You have a lot of voice range.
Thank you. You know, I don't know if I'm the best person to ask that because I don't follow my own rules. You know, if I want the job, I will push my voice as hard as I possibly can, which is not, I don't follow my, that, don't do that. That's wrong. Okay. But, you know, more often than not, you know, doing about, just remember that what might sound good to you isn't necessarily going to translate in the recording. Sometimes you can do about half of what you're doing, save your voice, and it's going to sound just as good. The other thing that I, you know, learned over the years is that, you know, after I've recorded something, they're going to be adding like special effects, sound, music on top of it, and that's going to, like, you know, mute down a lot of what you've done, and so you've pushed your voice harder than you actually needed to. I would just say, man, it's hard to answer. There's probably better sites on the internet. There's probably good sites on the internet that could give you a solid answer. I just say, don't push your voice harder than you need to. If you do feel your voice is starting to get a bit scruffy or scratchy and stuff, you know, in as much as you're able to, stop. Just let your voice rest. Honey and lemon, hot drinks, lozenges. You know, maybe take a few hours off. Don't talk. You know, when I auditioned for Lord Zedd, man, that wrecked my voice. I was struggling to speak for probably 2 or 3 days after that. So, just, yeah, don't ruin your voice. It's not worth it.
Okay.
All right, Zane, you're up. Good advice, I agree. All right, Zane, you're up.
My question to kind of oppose our host Chris's, I'm going to go on the good spectrum. My top five for you, what are your top five favorite Rangers across the span of seasons that we have gotten here in the Americas?
Wow. That's a toughie. Bear Rangers. I'm going to say Devin Daniels from Beast Morphers.
Rory Travis.
Yeah.
Seen the Rangers stop. Nice guy, by the way. Shouts out to him.
I really love and adore Will Schufelt from Ninja Steel. Very hard worker, very strong work ethic. And I did like his Brody. oh my gosh.
You got three more.
Spot here. Let's see. It might be easier if I just think of a specific season. So,
again, you can go back as far as you want, the whole 30 years.
I know. It's just I'm trying to think of like some seasons that really, really. I love Cam from Ninja Storm.
That's That's our fellow Bruce down there. That's our fellow favorite Ranger right there.
Yeah, Jay, I love him. He's a great. Was
Jason something?
Jason Chan.
Chan,
exactly. Yeah. He's not
related. He's actually going to be at Power Morphicon this year.
And plus, he's not related to Jackie Chan, so there you go.
I mean, he's Asian, but they're not related.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So that's three. You got two more.
It's, oh my gosh, this is so hard. I'm trying to remember her color. The one from Time Force. I think Time Force
Jen,
yellow.
Jen Scott.
Deborah.
Yellow. She was yellow.
Deborah Estelle Douglas. I want to see her name is.
Yeah, she's yellow. Yep. Yellow.
And yep, she played Katie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Katie. Okay, that's four. You got three males and a female.
I know. It disappoints so many people with this next one because it's like maybe it doesn't go back far enough. But the female leader in Time Force.
Jen Scott. Okay.
Aaron Cain, Jen Scott.
So both your Time Force, Rangers right there. That's pretty cool. All right.
Yeah, that's good.
Good choice. Well,
I want to personally thank Mr. Campbell Cooley for showing up onto the Power Rangers Multiverse Rangers podcast, whether camera problems or not. We appreciate you showing up, man.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. And I'm sorry. I hope I didn't stumble too much. I'm not the most articulate person on the best of days. So I think I kind of fumbled around on a few of the answers. And
Excellent. You did absolutely excellent. Would you like to plug your social medias? I know you said you had a YouTube channel, so please like and subscribe Mr. Cooley's YouTube channel.
Sure, please do. So I have a YouTube channel. It's called Campbell Cooley Voice Actor at Large, and it's got I've made it for the fans. It's got behind the scenes videos of me recording things in the booth. Various adventures I've been on. It's kind of it's a smorgasbord. It's got some stuff you'll like, stuff you probably won't, but there's something for everybody. I'm on Instagram. That's Real Campbell Cooley. I primarily communicate with fans on Instagram. I don't really use Facebook, so probably best if you don't add me because I don't really use it except to communicate with people I know from like 15 years ago. So, and I do have a Twitter account that's just at Campbell Cooley. So yeah, if you could reach out to me there. But
on Threads?
I'm sorry. Oh no, I'm not on Threads yet.
Good recommendation. all right. Thank you, Campbell Cooley, for showing up on the Power Rangers Multiverse Rangers podcast. Guys, we got a problem though. We need to get rid of a villain in here. He's a little trapped in here.
Scruzzle, you're wanted in the base.
Oh, you want us in the base? What do you say, Scruzzle? Shall we destroy these pathetic Rangers?
Awesome. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful you've had me on your show, and I really respect all the voice work that you're doing, and it's hard. Hopefully you're all realizing it's not easy.
Well, I do play a number of characters, and two of them are Eaters and Dark Rangers.
Thank you so
Campbell,
much.
Thank you so much for showing up, man. We appreciate it.
No problem. Yeah, hope to do it again sometime.
We would love to have you on another time. You just get a hold of me whenever you feel like you want to come back on.
All right. And hey, one last thing. I hope I'm going to see some of you at Ranger Stop and Pop.
All right. He's going to be at Ranger Stop and Pop this year. It's going to be in late June, June 26th, I think it is.
That sounds about right.
That sounds about right. There you go. So go check him out at Ranger Stop and Pop. I hope to see you guys there. He's going to be there signing autographs, saying hi to the fans, and all that stuff. So go check him out there. And guys, also like and subscribe to Multiverse Rangers podcast. And we're going to keep getting guests like Campbell Cooley on this program. You got to keep liking and subscribing and go, you know, keep checking us out. Also, I'd like to thank our sponsors, W Energy, and also Prince by Schneeberger. We're gonna have an advertisement for him placed up there later on. And in the meantime, for me and the rest of the Multiverse Rangers podcast, we say good night,
good morning, evening,
wherever you are.
For the record, thank you so much.
Thank you. I know
that he was being recorded. Yeah.
Till then, you know what time it is. Support the time. Boop.